We're holding on Chaf Gimel Amar Aleph, eighth line. Line begins Lamayit. We're in the middle of the discussion. We had Chizkiah and Rabbi Bohu with two different opinions where we know that Chometz B'Pesach is also B'Hana. They both agree with that concept, which we're going to learn further down on the Amud. Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with that, but all the other Tanoim agree and say Chometz is also B'Hana. So we had two different ways of understanding it. Chizkiah said, we learn it from the fact that it says, lo ye ochel chometz, which means chometz shall not be eaten, which implies not only actual eating, but any hana that could conceivably lead to something that you could eat. For example, if you're allowed to sell it, you could use the money to buy food. If you're able to use it for firewood, then that saves you money on firewood, and then you're able to use that money for food, etc. And according to Rabbi Bohu, rather the rule is anytime the Torah says that something is also to eat, regardless whether it uses Lashon lo ye'ochel, or whether it says something like lo seichal or lo seichlenu, or what have you, automatically it means an isur hana, unless the Torah specifies otherwise, like it does by Nevela. Where by Nevela, the Torah tells us that you can sell it to a goy or give it to a ger or give it to a ger toshav, and we had actually Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda having a machlokas about that, whether the pasuk is telling us that you can give and sell to either one, in which case we would say that yes, the Torah is coming to give us a heter, or is the Torah actually coming to tell us an issur that you're not allowed to give it for free to the goy and you're not allowed to sell it to the ger toshav? And in that case, then not necessarily could we learn from that. So that would work better according to Chizkiah. So in other words, it's not that the machloikas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is actually the machloikas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Bohu, but we did say that it's easier to understand. Rabbi Bohu's opinion according to Reb Meir. And it's easier to understand Chizkiah's according to Rabbi Yehuda, but each one can be made to work according to the other one as well. So then the Gemara had started. We started with a bunch of examples where we see the Torah says something is osur, and yet we find either we find that it's mutar b'hana. Good morning, Aaron. We have things that are osur to eat, and either they're mutar b'hana, or we have some cases where they are in fact osur b'hana, but you need a special limud from the pasuk for that. So how does that work according to the respective opinions? So we were going through them one by one. We had gidan nasha, we had blood, we had avim and achai, shoran niskol, orla. So now we're continuing with that discussion. Again, things where the Torah tells us about something, either where the Torah tells us about something lo ye ochel, and we need another limud to say that it's also b'hana, which seems to be a problem both according to Chizkiah and Rabbo, because even according to Chizkiah, lo ye ochel should mean it's already also b'hana, you shouldn't need anything else. Or it says lo seichal or lo seichlenu or some expression like that. And then the question is on Rabbi Bohu, why according to him is it mutar b'hana, or why according to him do you need a separate limud that it's also b'hana? So eighth line of Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, v'harei truma, consider the case of truma, for a zor, obviously. The pasuk says a zor, a non-koyin, is not allowed to eat kodesh, and kodesh there refers to truma. So in other words, according to Rabbi Bohu's rule, it should be also b'hana for Yisrael. But yet we learned in a Mishnah in Eruvin, Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin v'liyisrael b'truma, that we're allowed to use wine for a nazir's eruv. We're allowed to use truma for Yisrael's eruv. So even though the Yisrael is not allowed to eat, the truma. So Rashi over here brings one explanation that the Gemara had said over there, namely, in both cases he could be matir neder. In the case of the nazir, obviously he can be matir neder of his nazirus, and then he's allowed to drink wine. In the case of the truma, also he could be matir neder, say that I don't want this particular batch of produce to be truma. I want it. I'm going to actually end up from the larger pile of fruit. I'm going to take different fruit as truma. So then what happens is this fruit reverts to being tevel. Then what happens is being tevel already, then at that point, what you do is you take truma and miser out of that batch of fruit itself. Now, no, no, you can't do that on Shabbos, but you can do that Bein HaShemoshes, and therefore, so that would be one reason to say that it's Mutter. Tosfos actually over here gives a different reason that we learned in the Gemara over here, which is that even if you, the Yisrael, or you, the Nazir, can't eat or drink this food, somebody else could, and that's reason enough for it to be considered that for it to be considered that an Eruv could be made with it. Tosfos also points out, by the way, we learned in Eruvin as well, that there's an opinion that said that when you're making an Eruv Tchumen, you can only make it for a Dvar Mitzvah. If we follow that opinion, then the question over here isn't really a question, because Mitzvah Slav Lahonis, the fact that you're doing something that involves a Mitzvah is not considered a Hana. The question would be, according to the opinion, which is the Halacha, that you are allowed to make an Eruv Tchumen for Dvar HaRashus as well. It's better to make it for a Dvar Mitzvah, but you're allowed to make it for a Dvar Rishos. So now the question is then, again, that we're saying that the Yisrael is allowed to have Hana from the Truma. So how is that? So the answer is, Amar HaPapa, Shaini Hosam Da Amar Krot Trumas Chem. The difference is, by Truma, the Pasuk uses the expression, your Truma in the plural shall be. Now the context of that Pasuk, Rashi explains, is actually talking about Trumas Meiser. The Torah is telling the Levim that when you give Trumas Meiser out of your Meiser Rishon to the Kohanim, that will be the equivalent of the Truma that the Yisraelim, that will be the equivalent of the Truma that the Yisraelim give to the Kohanim. So the point is, there's a hekesh between Trumas Meiser and regular Truma, and whatever applies to one applies to the other. So therefore, if the Pasuk uses the word Trumas Chem, your Truma, implying Shalachem Tehei, implying it's considered to a certain extent yours, and therefore you're allowed to have Hana from it. So v'idach. So what would Chizkiah answer that? According to Chizkiah, why do you need the word trumaschem? According to him, there's no reason to say that truma is also b'hana, because it doesn't say by it lo ye ochel. The answer is, he would say trumaschem d'cho Yisrael kama. It just means trumaschem as in your truma collectively of the Jewish people. In other words, it's just the lashon haposuk. It's just the lashon haposuk. It's not meant for us to darshan anything specific from that from that chof and mem of the word trumaschem. Vaharei Nozir. Next, what about the case of a Nozir? The Pasuk says a Nozir is not allowed to eat grape seeds or grape skins or anything else from grapes. And the Mishnah we just quoted says that you're allowed to make an Eruv for a Nozir with wine. So why is that? According to Rabbahu's rule, it should be also Bahana. And again, the question is only if we say that you're making an Eruv for Dvar HaRashus, because otherwise you're allowed to, otherwise not considered Hana. The answer is, Amar Mazutra, Shaini Hosam, Da Amakra Nizroi. The difference is that the Pasuk says, about a Nazir, it says, Kol Yomei Nizroi, all the days of his Nizirus. So the word Nizroi means Shalo Yehei, means that these things that are off limits to him are still considered his. So he's allowed to have Hana from them. So even though it says lo yoichal, but the word nizroi itself comes to teach us that he's mutar b'hana from it. Now here the Gemara doesn't seem to be let's finish the Gemara and then we'll talk what Tosfos says. Rav Ashi says, I have a different way of learning it. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Yeh. The Pasuk says, he shall be holy. Gadol perasan roshay, he should grow the hair of his head long. Now, the word Kodesh Yeh, we learn from that, Gedulei Kodesh, only the growth of his hair is considered Kodesh and is also Bahana. And in fact, when the Nazir finishes the Nazirus, he takes the hair and puts it under the pot where they're cooking the Shlomim and burns it, because it's otherwise also Bahana. The Ein Dover Acha Kodesh, but nothing else in connection with the Nazir is considered holy. So therefore, anything else, including the grapes and whatever that he's also to eat, he's still Mutar Bahana of them. So the question is, midi v'ein dover achaksiv. There's no miut in the pasuk over there where it says kodesh yir gadol perasar roshay. Fine, you're learning from that the hair is kodesh. There's no miut over there to say that you're excluding everything else. Ela machvarta kedim mazutra. So it's clear we have to answer like mazutra that we're learning it from the word nizroi. Now the Gemara is not asking over here. So according to Chizkiah, what are you doing with the word nizroi like we did by all the other ones? So Tosfos brings a girsa that actually the Gemara does ask that. And the answer is that according to Chizkiah, we're learning a different din from the word Nizroi. Namely, you have a machlokas in Masecht and Nazir, you have a case like this. Imagine you have a person has made a neder of Nazirus. he designated money or animals or whatever that he plans to, when he finishes Naziris, he's going to use this money to buy the animals for the three Kobanis that he needs to finish his Naziris. Then he passes away. Suppose his son becomes a Nazir, is the son who inherited the money, is he now allowed to use that money for the Korbanos for his own Naziris or not? So you have machlokas in a Mishnah, they're a Nazir, about the exact details when he's allowed to, when he's not allowed to. So Tosfos brings, there's a girsa over here that the word Nizroi teaches us al Nizroi Megaleach. He can only shave and bring his Korbanos based on his own money of Naziris and not on the Naziris Aviv, not using the money or the animals that his father had designated. So the actual halachas over there are, it depends if his father set aside Mois Strumim, which means he just set aside generic money without specifying this is for this Korban, this is for this Korban, etc., then the son is allowed to use it. But if it's Mois Mefuroshin or actual animals that he's not allowed to. But the point is that concept, when he's that the fact that sometimes he's not allowed to, we learn from the word Nizroi. And so Tosfos brings that there's a Girsa in the Gemara over here that says that Chizkiah would say that we learn that from the word Nizroi. So the chiyuv comes only after he's finished his Naziris, but the Mishnah describes over there a case where he and his father were Nazirim at the same time. And he said, or even he said to begin with, when he took on his Naziris, that I'm going to be I'm going to use these things that I inherited from my father. Whatever. When we get to Masech the Nazir in due time, Bez Hashem, we'll learn about the details. But yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, so the point is that again, both Rabbi Bohu and Chizkiah have what to learn from the word Nizroi. Rabbi Bohu uses the word Nizroi to say, therefore, that things that a Nazir is also to eat are still mutabana. And Chizkiah, well, according to Tosfos, would use it to say this concept about when a son is allowed and not allowed to use the money or the animals of his father's Naziris for the Korbanos at the end of his own Naziris. Okay. So it's not a matter of having Hanah from the, well, I mean, it is. It's sort of Hanah. I mean, it means he's saving money. He doesn't have to spend other money on Korbanos. But that's not the point. The point, the animals are not also to a Nazir, right? Wine and grapes are also to a Nazir. So according to Chizkiah, the word Nizroi is not teaching us anything about the Isur Hanah of a Nazir, because according to Chizkiah, there's no reason to think the Nazir is also Bahanah of grapes and whatever anyway. The Pasuk just says he's not allowed to eat them. According to Chizkiah, it would have had to say Lo Ye Ochel for him to be also Bahanah in them. And it doesn't, right? Okay. Next, Vare Chodosh. What about Chodosh, the new crop of grain that grew before the Omer was brought? We talked about it in the first parak. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to eat bread or toasted grain or fresh grain of the new crop ad etzem ayem hazeh, until the middle of this day, or until this actual day, meaning until the Korban Omer is brought, or nowadays that there's no Korban Omer until the end of the day. So it's the second day Pesach, and actually we in Chutz Laaretz have to consider it also the third day Pesach, because Sfeika D'Yoma. However, we have the different dais and the different menhagim whether Chodosh applies to crops that are grown outside Eretz Yisrael. We hold like the shitta of the Bach, which is how the Baal Shem Tov held that it doesn't, and therefore we're not nizher in Chodosh outside Eretz Yisrael. Anyway. So we see again, the Torah is telling us you're not allowed to eat it. According to Rabbi Bohu, therefore, it should also be also bana, utnan. Yet we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, koitzer l'shachas, you're allowed to harvest grain. You're allowed to harvest the grain while it's unripe, while it's still just grass, which then you're going to use for animal food. Umachil l'behema, and not only that, you're even allowed to pick completely developed ears of grain. You're not allowed to harvest them, as we learned in the first perek, but you're allowed to pick them. You're allowed to pick them by hand and feed them to animals, because that's not considered kotzir. The pasuk says it has to be that the oimer has to be reishis ktsirchem, has to be the beginning of your harvest. That's not harvest. We learned in the first perek, actually, we talked about the you have the case over there where as soon as the Omer was brought, you could find the stores of Yerushalayim are full of kemach and koli, and is that birtzayin chachamim or shaloi birtzayin chachamim? And one thing we mentioned in that connection is that you might be able to pick it by hand. So here we see the same thing. You're allowed to pick by hand, even to feed animals. So we see it is mutar b'hana. Amr of Shmaya, shiny hosam, da amakrok tzirchem. The difference is, Again, because the pasuk says katsir chem, meaning your harvest. So the pasuk is saying the omer has to be rachis katsir chem, meaning katsir chem shalachem yehe. Again, the chaf mem at the end means that it belongs to you even before that, and it is mutar bahana. So even though you're not allowed to, you, a person, are not allowed to eat it, but it is mutar bahana, and you're allowed to pick from it and feed your animals. actually, Tosfos points out there is another limud that we learn from the word katsir chem, namely that you are allowed to do harvest that's for mitzvah before the omer. One example is the harvesting of the omer itself. It's done the night before you bring the korban omer, but you're allowed to do that because that's for the sake of a mitzvah. There's a couple of other examples that it brings over there where you're allowed to harvest for the sake of a mitzvah. So we learn that from the word katsir chem. So how are we using it over here? So Tosfos says, because then if it was for those limudim, it could have said katsir cha in the singular. The fact that it says katsir chem in the plural allows us to douch in two things from it. Which then leads to the question why we don't say the same thing with truma before, why we don't say by truma, it could have said truma scha and it said truma schem, and we should be able to douch in two things from it. Okay. Anyway, there's always an answer. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, the point is that, so therefore, since it says katsir chem, then Rabbi Bahu says again, the chem means that it belongs to you. The idach, what would Chizki answer that? Again, like he did by Truma, katsir chem d'chol Yisrael mashma, it means just generically the katsir of the whole Jewish people. It's not meant for any special drasha. It's just the style of the pasuk to use the word katsir chem. Instead of just, it could have used the word katsir, and instead he used katsir chem, but we're not meant to learn anything extra necessarily from that. Or according to Tosfos, the fact that it could have said katsir cha, and it said katsir chem, that's just the style of the pasuk, to talk collectively about the Jewish people. Okay. Next, v'hare shrotzim. What about shrotzim? What about insects and other creepy, crawly creatures? The pasuk says about them that they're disgusting and you're not allowed to eat them. Lo ye ochel, which again, according to both Chizkiah and Rabbahu, should mean it's also bahana. Utnan, yet we learn in a Mishnah, sayode chaya v'ofis v'dogim, trappers of domestic animals, of wild animals and fish and birds and fish. Shenizdamnu lahen minin tmeim. If they happened to catch minim tmeim, they happened to catch a non-kosher type, mutar in the mochel and the nochrim, they're allowed to sell them to goyim. Now, it's an interesting point, by the way, that the posuk that we're bringing, we started saying shrotzim, and we started mentioning the word sheketz hu, but then we start talking about chaya v'ofis v'dogim. Why don't we continue mentioning about shrotzim? So the Mishnah talks about chaya and ofis, but then why we bring a posuk about them rather than a posuk that actually mentions about chayas tmeis and ofis tmeis and whatever that we're not allowed to eat? So there's an explanation. I think the Chassam Sofer says, the vote is because we talked before about Eivim and Achai. Therefore, we want to focus on some kind of thing where, according to all opinions, Eivim and Achai applies, or doesn't apply, rather. Because if we're talking about a creature where Eivim and Achai applies, then we have the same discussion as we did before. Everybody agrees Eivim and Achai doesn't apply to Shrotzim. Therefore, the Gemara started mentioning Shrotzim and brought the Pasuk about them, even though the Mishnah that we're referring to is referring to Chaya and Ophis and so forth. Anyway, the point is, for example, so you have, let's say, a person puts out the pasuk doesn't include shmona shrotzim. So, in other words, a person puts out a trap, for example, to catch wild animals, and he ends up catching a bear or wild chazer or whatever. He's allowed to sell it. But if you say lo ye ochel, why should he be allowed to? It should be also bahana. The answer is again. Shiny hosam. It's different in that case. The amakra lochem, because again the pasuk says the sheketz you lochem, and again the lochem means shalochem yehe, means it belongs to you. So therefore, it's mutabana. So the question is, that's the thing, because when it says lochem, the same way as we said before, trumaschem and the trumaschem and ktsirchem, so the lochem comes to give a heter. We had similarly before also. We had as far as. We had before about lochem also that where it said about dam, it wasn't about dam. Whatever we had before also where we had the word lochem and we used it for a similar kind of we had by orla rather where it said lochem and we would have thought that lochem tells us mutabana and we actually needed the word varautim or losoi in order to tell us that not, because otherwise the word lachem would have meant that it's mutabana. Yeah. Okay. So since it says lachem, so then shalachem yehe, so it belongs to you. So therefore it's mutabana. So the question is, then why is the Mishnah saying only b'dieved? If you trap such an animal, then you're allowed to sell it. Based on that logic, why can't you do a business in selling non-kosher animals? Now, you have an interesting point that the Taz makes in a couple of places, and actually you can find a similar concept hinted at in Tosfos in some places, that when the Torah is explicitly matir something, the Chachamim do not have the ability to aser it. So if we didn't have the word lachem, if we were to say that the Torah is not taking a position on whether it's also a mutter fun, we could say the chachamim aser it. But once the Torah gives us the word lachem, meaning that there's an explicit heter to be selling dvarim tmeim, then how could the chachamim, and then we can't say it's drabanan, that you can't say it, because the chachamim don't have the ability to aser something that it says explicitly in the Torah. So then, how is it then that the permit is only b'dieved, only if you trap the animal? The answer is shiny hocha do amakro yiyu. Yes, but on the other hand, the pasuk also says the word yiyu v'sheketz yiyu lochem. So the word yiyu, they shall be, means bahava yos and yahu, means they remain in their state of iser. So in other words, you have yiyu on the one hand, which implies an iser. You have lochem, which implies a heter. So therefore, so one way of understanding it is therefore that the Torah leaves it up in the air. The Torah is saying there's going to be certain cases where it's mutar b'hana and certain cases where it's osir, and the Torah is leaving it up to the chachamim to determine what should be osir and what should be mutar. We have a similar case when it comes to malacha and chalamoyed. Many Rishonim hold, and this was recently in Perek Echad of Rambam, that malacha and chalamoyed is actually also daraisa. But we have all the exceptions. We have Dover Ovid, and we have this and that, and the other, all the various exceptions that are mutter on Chalamoyed, which were created by the Chachamim. So what's the vote? Is the Torah is saying that malacha, that certain malacha is also on Chalamoyed and certain is mutter. The Torah doesn't specify which is which. So the Eibishter left it up to the Chachamim to decide what should be also and what should be mutter. So here you could say the same thing. Since you have yiyu and lochem, so therefore the Torah is telling you there's going to be something about dvarim tmeim that you're not allowed to sell and something that you are allowed to. And Hashem says, I'm leaving it up to the Chachamim to determine which is which. Tosfos also points out, so if we're saying that you're not allowed to make a regular business selling non-kosher animals, then how are you allowed to sell things like horses and donkeys, or nowadays, you know, your pets or whatever? And the answer is Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that they're not being sold for eating, they're being sold for work or as pets or whatever, so therefore there's more of a heter about them. The iser is only when you have creatures that are being sold primarily for food. Well, so in other words, nobody buys a horse for food. Nobody goes to a pet shop and buys a dog for food. So yeah. But what horses they give to lions in the zoos, Kenzine, but it's not for human food. Yeah. Okay, so I guess in Iceland you wouldn't be able to sell a horse to a guy. I don't know. Okay, fine. Okay, onward. Fine. So the question is, Ulachizkiya Lamali Lamichtav La Yoichal Umaisi Lachem Lamishri. So according to Chizkiya, why Lo Yeochel rather? Lachizkiya Lamali Lamichtav Lo Yeochel Umaisi Lachem Lamishri. So according to Chizkiya. So according to Rabbi Bohu, so far we understand well. It says Lo Yeochel. Any kind of lashon of achila means that it's osur. Therefore, the pasuk tells us lachem to say that there's certain cases where it's mutter, but then it puts in yiyu to say, on the other hand, there are certain cases where it's still osur. So you're not allowed to make a regular business selling them, but if you happen to get one, then you're allowed to sell it. But according to Chizkiya, why did the pasuk have to say lo ye ochel, which according to him is the only lashon that means an isur hana, or maisi lachem lemishriye, and then you need the word lachem to tell us that sometimes it's mutter. The Torah didn't have to use the word lo yeochel. It could have just used the word lo soichal or something, and instead it could have said lo soichal or lo seichlenu or whatever, and v'loy boi lachem, and then you wouldn't need the word lachem to give you the heter anyway. The answer is Amalachizkiya. So Chizkiya will answer you. As a matter of fact, Taima didi nami mehacha. Precisely from here is where I'm learning that lo yeochel means an isur hana, precisely because the Torah needed to use the word lachem. This is where I'm learning from. In other words, every other place where we have every other place where we had lo ye'ochol, we said it is osa b'hana, and we had some other limud for it, and we said why we need a different limud for it. For example, for the skin of the shodan niskal, whatever. Here is one place where the Torah tells us lo ye'ochol, but then it immediately puts in the word lochem to say that there is a heter hana from it. So Chizkiya says that's exactly where I'm learning from, that lo ye'ochol is the loshen that means it's osa b'hana, and therefore you need the word lochem to tell us that it's mutter. So this is the source. This is actually the source of my shita, he says. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Next, the Gemara asks, "V'harei chometz." Now let's go back finally to chometz, the topic of our perek. D'rachmana amar lo ye'ochel chometz. The pasuk says chometz shall not be eaten. So again, lo ye'ochel. That's the expression that implies an isur hana. V'tanya. Yet we learn in a brayse. Rabbi Yosi Aglila omer tama al atzmacha. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, you should be surprised at yourself. How can you think that chametz is osa b'hana? Hey, chametz osa b'hana kol shiva. How could chametz be osa b'hana all 7 days? In fact, Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that chametz is mutter b'hana even during Pesach. It's just osa b'achila. And by the way, even the other even the other Tanoim who disagree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili, they don't learn it from the word lo ye'ochel. They learn it from other things that it says in the Pesukim. So according to both Chizki and Rabbi Bahu, how could Rabbi Yosi Aglili be saying it's mutter b'hana, and how could anybody else be learning it's osa b'hana from other places rather than from lo ye'ochel? The answer is shiny hasam da'amakra v'lo yeroa l'cha sa'ur. Again, because you have a word l'cha in the pasuk, sa'ur shall not be seen for you, implying shocha yehei. Again, you could say the word l'cha means that it belongs to you, meaning you're mutter b'hana of it. So that would be according to both Chizki and Rabbo. Again, because it says that you're not allowed to eat chametz, and you're not allowed, but it says lo yiro l'cha, l'cha, instead, it didn't have to say the word l'cha, it could have said lo yiro chametz, lo yiro asar. So therefore, l'cha would teach us that it's mutar b'hana, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And even according to everybody else, you would say you have to have some other way of knowing that it's also b'hana. Because they don't learn, yeah. So the Rabbanon, so what would the other Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili, what are they doing with that word l'cha? They say, as we said in the first parak, shocha iataroya, it comes to teach you, you're not allowed to see your own chametz around your house, avalataroya shalachirim v'shogavoya, but you would be allowed to see in your house chametz that belongs to goyim or that belongs to hekdesh. So we learned in the first parak, midrabanon, if it belongs to a goy, you have to put a machitza in front of it, so you don't accidentally come to eat it at hekdesh, you don't need that, but midaraisa, just you can have it right there, you can have it right there openly in your house, and there's no problem, because it's not yours. So for that, we learn from the word l'cha. The idach, so what would Rabbi Yosi Aglili the answer to that? He would say, t'rei l'cha k'sivi. It actually says twice in the pasuk l'cha. Lo yiro l'cha chametz, and lo yiro l'cha sa'ur. Actually, you have, in the end, we're going to say there were actually three. Because you have twice in the Torah, it says lo yiro l'cha sa'ur. Once in Parashas Boy, and once in Parashas Re'eh. You also have lo yiro l'cha chametz, again in Parashas Boy. So you have three times, but right now the Gemara is focusing on that you have two. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili would say, good, one teaches you that you're allowed to have shalachedim v'shogavaya, and the other one teaches you that it's mutar b'hana. V'idach, so what would the other chachamim, what would Rabbi Yehuda in particular answer back to that? He would say, you need twice where it says l'cha, because chad b'nachri shekibashtoi v'chad b'nachri shalai kibashtoi. Because as we learned in the first parak, you have a goy who's under your control, and you're still saying that you're allowed to have his chametz around, even though he's under your control, and conceivably you could tell him, get rid of the chametz, and he would be obligated to, because he has to listen to you. For example, he might be your eved or whatever. And we're still saying that you're not obligated to, he's allowed to have his chametz around. And then you have another one for Nachri Shaloiki Bashtoi, where you don't have him under your control, and therefore the point is that again he's allowed to have his chametz around, and there's no concern that you might end up eating it. So we had back on Daf Vav, we had cases over there where if you take achrayus for the chametz, then you're not allowed to have it around. The Gemara had asked. The Gemara had said over there that you're allowed to see shalachedim shogavaya, even if he's kibashto, even if he's under your control and lives with you in the same chatzer, you're still allowed to have his chametz around, even though there's, even though you would think there's more of a chance that you're that, that you're like that you're likely to eat it unless you take a chayos for it. Anyway, the point is that so you need two lachas, one for each of those cases, one for nachri shekibashto and one for nachri shalokibashto. So that's what we're saying. So Midoraisa, we're not worried about that. Midoraisa, we're saying that either way, it's not your chametz, therefore you can have it around. Midrabanan, we're going to say that you have to have a mechitza asara tfachim in front of it. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, said Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's what we need the two lachas for. Nothing to do with it being mutar b'hanah. One teaches you that you're allowed to have around chametz of an goy shaloi kibashto, who's not under your control. Another one that you're allowed even when kibashto, even when he is under your control. And that's that. So, what would Rabbi Yosi Aglili answer to that? He would say, Tlosa lacha ksibi. The fact is, it doesn't just say twice lacha in connection with chametz, it says three times. Again, in Parshas Boy, you have, we say in Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin, v'lo yira lacha chametz, v'lo yira lacha sa'ur. Then you have in Parshas Re'e, it says, v'lo yira lacha sa'ur b'cho gvocha shivas yamim. So three times it says lacha. So two of them are for the two types of nachri, and one is to teach you mutabana. V'idach. That according to Rabbi Yisak, it's mutabana. The third lachot teaches you it's mutabana. Yeah. Ve'idach. According to Rabbi Yisak, chometz is mutabana during Pesach. That's what we're just saying. Rabbi Yisak, Ve'idach. So what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say you still don't have one available to teach you anything is mutabana. Because chad b'sa'ur v'chad b'chometz of the lachos, the extra lacha has to teach you that sa'ur and chametz are both osir, or in the case of a goy, are both mutter respectively. Utsrichi, and we need them because sa'ur and chametz, sa'ur is sourdough. So on the one hand, it's a stronger type of chametz than regular chametz because it's sourdough. It's been fermenting for a long time. So if it only said sa'ur, you would think maybe only sa'ur you can't have around because chimutze kosher. You wouldn't know about regular chametz. On the other hand, if it only said chametz, you would say the difference is regular chametz is edible. Sa'ur by itself is not really edible. You can just use it to ferment other dough. So therefore, we need to mention separately chametz and sa'ur. And therefore, so the three lachos, so one of them teaches you about chametz, one teaches you about sa'ur, and the third one teaches you about the nochri, about shochoy, ataroya, etc. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have no extra ones to teach you that anything is mutabahana. So then the point is, so you have one extra one to teach you not only chametz, but also sa'ur. And then within chametz itself, you have two types, shikibashtei and shalokibashtei. Okay. So therefore, so the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have any extra lachaz to teach you it's multibahana. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you do. But again, the question was, why even though it says lo ye ochel, is there an opinion that it's mutabahana? And even the other opinions are not learning it from the word lo ye ochel, they're learning it from other places, as we're going to see later in the parak. So the answer is because of the lachaz. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, after all, takes one of the lachas to mean that it's mutar b'hana. Therefore, the pasuk whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that not. So therefore, even though it says lo ye'ochel, you would have said it's mutar b'hana on the grounds of the word lacha, unless we use the word lacha for something else. Tosfos brings up the point, according to Chizkiah, again, you could ask the same question as before. It should have said, it didn't have to say lo ye ochel, and then you wouldn't need the word lacha at all, because again, according to Chizkiah, any other lashon of achila doesn't necessarily mean an isur hana. So why does it have to say lo ye ochel and then need the word lacha? Tosfos leaves the question open. On the other hand, it brings something from a different version of Tosfos that says that you have to say the answer must be that Chizkiah obviously cannot be agreeing with Rabbi Yosi Aglili. This that Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying that's multibahana. You're right. Chizkiah necessarily cannot be going like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. He has to be going like one of the other Tanoim. Okay. Next, The Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Should we have to say, now that we've gone through all the possible cases involving Rav Abahu and Chizkiah, and we've shown how each one of them is able to fa'enfer why the pasuk is phrased as it is. So should we say that this is actually a machloikas tanoim on this question of when it says in the Torah, lo soichal, does it mean an isur hana'a or not? Again, they're both agreeing that if it says lo ye'ochal, is it isur hana'a? The question is, what happens if it says lo soichal, or something like that? We agree that lo ye ochel, it shall not be eaten, as an isur hana'a. The question is lo soichal, when the pasuk says you shall not eat it. So should we say that's actually a machloikas tanoim? Namely, the pasuk says about chelev. The pasuk says chelev of a nevela and chelev of a treifa. The pasuk says ye osa l'chol malacha. It can be used for any kind of malacha. You're just not allowed to eat it. So ma tamad lema l'chol malacha. Why does it have to say it can be used l'chol malacha? It could have just said ye osa l'malacha. So like this, sheyochol l'malachas gavoya yehe mutter l'malachas hediyot yehe osir. You would think maybe you're allowed to use chelev only for purposes of the Bais Hamikdash. After all, in the Bais Hamikdash, they have chelev is burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore, maybe there's more of a heter to do something with chelev in the Bais Hamikdash. For example, chelev can be used to when you're processing skins to turn them into leather, to soften them. You rub chelev into them and that softens them. So maybe you're only allowed to do that in the Bais Hamikdash, where after all, skins of the of Hekdash, in other words, skins of the Korbanos. They're allowed to keep the skin. So it depends. Skins of certain Korbanos go to the Koyanim of the Mishmar. Skins of certain other Korbanos, from Kalim primarily, go to the owner. But you would say, Rashi explains, given that now we know you're not allowed to eat chelev. On the other hand, the Mizbeach is, so to speak, allowed to eat chelev because you burn the chelev on the Mizbeach and the burning things on the Mizbeach is called eating in Halacha. So therefore, we see that Hekdesh is allowed to eat chelev. So maybe only Hekdesh is allowed to use chelev for Malacha, for example, for processing skins. And the Malacha's head. Some of them are because some of them are because they're ones that belong to the Kohenim, at least there's something that came from Hekdesh. Actually, Rashi says specifically, yeah, you're right. Rashi says specifically, Uras l'malechas bedek abayis. Maybe it wouldn't mean the skins of Korbanos. It would mean if a person donated a skin to bedek abayis, then you'd be allowed to use chelev in order to process it, but not from malechas hedyot. Yeah, then they sold it, right. So Talmud Lama l'chol malacha. Therefore, the pasuk says l'chol malacha, meaning that even a hediyot is allowed to use it. Divir Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That's what Rabbi Yosi Aglili says. So it comes out, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, chelev would have been osa b'hanah except for the word l'chol malacha. That's more like Rabbi Abahu says, because Rabbi Abahu is saying that anytime it says an isra achila, automatically means an isra hanah unless otherwise specified. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says you don't need a pasuk to tell us that it's mutar b'hanah because there's no havam in it to think that it is. That's more like Chizkiah, because Chizkiah says only if it says lo ye'ochel, and here by chelev it doesn't say that. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says sheyochel l'malachas hediyot yehei tahor l'malachas gavoya yehei tomei. Maybe you would think that it's not a matter of isur or heter; it's a matter of that. It's not part of the nevela in that it doesn't have tumas nevela. So you would think maybe that only applies to a hediyot. Maybe it doesn't apply to the Bais Hamikdash. So the opposite of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Maybe in other words, you have a nevela is tamei. If you touch or carry a nevela, you become tamei. The pasuk therefore needs to stress that the chelev of a nevela is not tamei as part of the flesh of the animal. The flesh of it is tamei and is matame a person, but the chelev is not. So without the word l'chol malacha, you would think maybe it is tamei at least relative to kodshim. You would say that maybe at least relative to kodshim, it would be considered tamei. Therefore, you can't be using it for skins that belong to Hekdesh, because then you're bringing tuma into the Bais Hamikdash. So therefore, Talmud Lema, l'chol malacha, therefore, the pasuk is saying that you're allowed to use it l'chol malacha, meaning that it's not tamei for any purpose, not for chulin and not for kodshim either. Actually, the question is, though, Rishonim bring up the point, okay, you're saying it's not tamei as part of the nevela, but it touches the flesh of the nevela. Shouldn't it at least become a rishon l'truma, if it's mukhra l'kabel truma, that is, if it becomes wet? So the Maharam Chalava, so one obvious answer is we're talking about where it's not yet Mukhshal Kabbal Tumah. But another point, actually, the Maharam Chalava says that maybe the Gemara is focusing on over here mainly the Chalav of a Trefa. The Pasuk mentions the Chalav of a Nevela and the Chalav of a Trefa. A Trefa has no particular Tumah. So therefore, the Chalav is not going to be Tumah, but still you might have thought that maybe it's Tome relative to Kodshim, just as we find certain Chumras by Kodshim. For example, by Kodshim, we go as far as Revil Tome, as we learned in the previous Perek, whereas by Cholin, we only go to Sheni. So therefore, the Pasuk said, needs to say, L'chol Malacha, to tell you that no matter what, the Chelev is not Tome. So the point is, Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying the Tumo Latara La Itzirkra. The Pasuk does not need to tell us anything about Tumo Vatara. There's obviously no reason to think that the Schelev should have any greater Tumo when it comes to Kodshim than anything else. Bechlal, we don't really find something that should be Tome only relative to Kodshim and not anything else. Yeah, you can have Shlishi and Revila Tumo, but those are for that they come from a source of Tumo. Not that there should be some new kind of Tumo that applies only to Kodshim and not to Cholin. So he says you don't need a pasuk for that. Therefore, what do you need the pasuk for? Is to tell us that it's a, you would have thought that it's osur, and now the pasuk is telling you l'chol malacha that it's mutter. Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Akiva says the other way around, isur v'heter like tzarech kra. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that it's mutter, because there's no reason to think that it's osur. Again, on the face of it, that seems to be like Chizkiah, who says that as long as it doesn't say lo ye'ochol, it's mutter b'hana. Therefore, the pasuk just needs to tell us in connection with Tumah Vatara. So, my lav b'hokam miflagi. So, shouldn't we say then that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili are arguing on the point between Chizki and Rabbi Bahu? The Rabbi Yosi Aglili sava loy soichlu mashma ben isra achila ben isra hana. Rabbi Yosi Aglili would say the word lo soichlu automatically means an isur hanah, which would be like Rabbi Bahu. V'chi asik kral the mishre le nevela b'hanahu da'asa. So then the pasuk is coming to tell us that the chelev of a nevela is mutar b'hanah. Actually, the word le nevela over here is a little hard to understand because on the face of it, we're really focusing on the chelev, not so much on the nevela. The Meshech Chochma has a long explanation of it, where still, if we didn't know that it was talking about Nevela, we would think maybe it only applies to the Chelev of a Tehora, and therefore it needs to stress the Nevela. Whatever, the point is that according to him, the word Lo Seichlu means an Isur Hana, and therefore we need to be told that it's Motu B'Hana from the word L'chol Malach. V'Rabbi Akiva Sava, Isur Achila Mashma, Isur Hana Lo Mashma. Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, would hold that Rabbi Akiva would hold that the word loy soichlu itself means only an isra achila. There's no isra hanaid in it at all. V'chi asikra the tumah v'tara, and then the pasuk just has to tell us that it's not tomei relative to kodshim. So in other words, so that would be exactly the same machlokas as Rabbi Bahu and Chizkiah. The Gemara says not necessarily loy. You could say both of them agree that the word lo soichlu implies an isur hana, like Rabbi Bahu, not like Chizkiah. But rather the machlokas is as follows. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Sava, kisha hutra nevela. Once the Torah is matir, a nevela, that as we learned previously, you're allowed to give it to a ger toshav, or you're allowed to sell it to a nochri. Once the Torah is giving you a specific heter for nevela, automatically he hutra, only the flesh of it is mutter. Chelba v'gidra loy hutru, but the chelev and the gidra nosha of it are not automatically included because the chelev is not considered part of the meat. And the same thing for all purposes, the chelev would not be considered part of the meat. Neither would the gid, because like we learned the other day, there's an opinion that ein begid and benois in tam, so they're not considered part of the flesh. So we would have thought then. So actually, Rashi points out Rabbi Yosi Aglili would also say, therefore, as far as Tumah Vatara, there's no reason to think that the Chelev would have the Tumah of Nevela. We would say the flesh of the animal has Tumah of Nevela, but the Chelev is not considered part of the flesh, and therefore it's not Tumah. So I don't need a pasuk for that. Without a special pasuk, you would think that the Chelev of the Nevela remains Osabhana. So therefore, yeah, you would have to, well, maybe not rip it out, but what you might have to do, for example, is if you're going to sell it to the guy, you might have to deduct the value of the chalev and give that to him for free rather than selling it to him. Or maybe you would have to take out the chalev, whatever. So therefore, v'chi itzrich grula hetter hana hu de'asa. So therefore, what do we need the pasuk for? To tell us that no, you are allowed to have hana from the chaylev after all. That's the l'chol malacha. So according to him, that's so it's not that with it's not that just the so Rabbi Yehuda Glili is holding, like we said before, like Rabbi Bohu, that the word lois soichlu means an isur hana. And the point is, though, in other words, not that the reason why we need a heter is because he holds the chaylev is different than the basar. Where's Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, not like we're saying before, that Rabbi Akiva would agree with Chizkia that there's no isur hana in the first place, and therefore you don't need a pasuk to tell us that it's motiv hana. Rabbi Akiva would also agree that the word lois soichlu means an isur hana. But Rabbi Akiva sava kisha hutra nevela. When the nevela became mutter, chelba begida nami hutru, automatically the chelev and the gid are mutter together with it, because they're all part of it. So therefore, I don't need a pasuk to tell us that the chelev is mutter b'hana, because already from the fact that you're allowed to sell the nevela to a goy, we know that you're allowed to have hana from it. Therefore, necessarily, the pasuk just must have to be telling us that you shouldn't think that there's a special tumah of it that applies regarding kodshim. So they're not arguing within Chizkiya and Rabbi Bohu's argument. They both agree with Rabbi Bohu, but they're arguing on the question of whether the chaylev is considered part of the basar or not. So the Rabbi Kiva is saying that without the pasuk l'chol malacha, you would think that maybe it's tomei relative to kodshim. Maybe you would say you're allowed to use chaylev for chulin purposes, but you're not allowed to use it, for example, for skins or for other purposes with kodshim, because there'll be matame then. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us that no, it's not going to be matame then. Right, and therefore you could use it. Okay. So the question now is, Rabbi Yosef Glili. So now let's go back to Rabbi Yosef Glili. Ashkechon, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, at this point, there's no question. Rabbi Akiva says that the chelev and the gid are all considered part of the nevela. So once the Torah is matter the nevela b'hana, then it's matter the chelev and the gid as well. The question is, according to Rabbi Yossi, we said according to Rabbi Yossi, you need a special pasuk to tell us that the chaylev is mutar b'hana. So what about the gid? So for Rabbi Yossi, the ashkechon chaylev de shari rachmana b'hana, we see that the chaylev, the Torah is saying, is mutar b'hana from the pasuk kol malacha, ela gid neima de asu. But according to Rabbi Yossi, maybe in fact the gid anasha of the animal, of the nevela, is also b'hana. You don't have any explicit thing in the pasuk to say that it's mutter. And according to him, the chaylev and the gid are not considered part of the basar, and you need explicit psukim for them. Chaylev we have, gid we don't. So the Gemara answer is, iboy seima hachi nami de'asur. Fine. One answer could be maybe Rabbi Yosef Glili would be machmir. You were saying before, Aaron, that Rabbi Yosef Glili usually is mekel, but here we might have an example where he's machmir, where maybe he would say that the gid anosha of a nevela is in fact also b'hana, because there's nothing in the pasuk to be machmir it. Iboy seima, or another possibility, maybe he would agree that it's mutter, but how would he learn that? How would he get that? Maisila b'kava choymer. Maybe he learns that the gid anosha of an avela is mutter based on a kavachomer. Uma chaylev sha'onushkoris, madach the chaylev of the nevela, where if a person eats that chaylev, it gets koris, mutter b'hana, but we just said the pasuk is telling us it's mutter b'hana. Gid sha'ene onushkoris, so the gid anosha, there's no koris for eating the gid anosha, it's only an isur lav, it's only an isur malkus. So loy kol shekin, how much more so that even from a nevela, it should be mutter b'hana. Tosfos points out, now it's not that we're saying that whenever something is not an isur koris, then you're allowed to have hana from it. After all, I mean, for example, a shor aniskol, there's no koris for eating it, but it's still also b'hana. But the point is, Tosfos says we're talking about something which is onush koris and also b'achila, but still mutar b'hana. So then the gid, so the gid, there's no koris. It is also b'achila, granted, but based on this kavachomer, it would be mutter. Okay. What about now? We had before the opinion of Rab Shimon de Osar. We said before We learned before, Reb Shimon had learned that the Gid Anoshe is actually Osabana because he holds Ein Begidin Menosin Tam. He holds Gidim themselves don't have a flavor. Therefore, they can't be considered part of the Basar. So if we say Yesh Begidin Menosin Tam, then fine. We can say that they're included with the Basar. And once the Basar of the Nevela is Mutabahana, so is the Gid Anoshe. But we said before, Reb Shimon Bechlal holds that the Gid is Ein Begidin Menosin Tam. And therefore, there's no specific heter for it. And we talked about yesterday what the Beis Yosef says, that the Beis Yosef wants to say that the Zohar says it's also Bahana, and therefore we should be machmer on that. And the Darche Moshe, the Ramah, says that the Zohar itself is according to Reb Shimon. So if we don't accept him in Nigla, we don't have to accept his opinion just because he restates it in the Zohar. Anyway, the point is, according to Reb Shimon, No, just the opposite. We learned yesterday, he says, Ein begidin menosin tam, therefore gidim remain also bahana from a nevela, because there's no posik to say that they're mutter. You can't say they're mutter as part of the nevela, because they're not part of the nevela, they're a separate thing. They're like eitz ba'alma. So we said yesterday, the Beis Yosef says, al pi nigla, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that's mutter bahana. However, since the Zohar says that's also bahana, we should be machmir like the Zohar. And then Amar says, who wrote the Zohar? Reb Shimon. That's the same opinion. So there's no reason to give that opinion any more weight just because he says it in the Gemara and in the Zohar. And the Maisa in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber himself paskins that you are allowed to have Hanar from the Gid Anosh. Anyway, the question is, in Beis Yosef, he had argued, in Beis Yosef, he had argued, based on the Zohar, that you shouldn't. Yeah.
But
Reb Shimon is saying it's also, that's what we're asking.
Also in the Gemara says,
yeah, so that's the question. On Chofei Zemar Aleph, we had that. Reb Shimon had said, Ein begin menosin tam, and according to that opinion, it would come out that the Gid Anoshe is also. And here we're also saying it. The point is, here we're saying it. According to Reb Shimon, who holds that Ein begin menosin tam, and therefore, just because Nevela is mutter doesn't make the Gid Anoshe mutter. So according to him, what does he do with the Kal V'Chomer that we just said from Chalev? The answer is, he says, Ikel Mifrach. You could slog up the Kal V'Chomer. Malach Chalev, Shekein Hutu Miklola, it's Ochaya. Because after a Chalev, you have an exception. By a chaya, you're allowed to eat the chalev. Only by a domestic animal, a cow, a sheep, or a goat, is the chalev also to eat. By a chaya, by a deer, for example, you're allowed to eat the chalev. So chalev has an exception. As opposed to toma begid shloi hutu mekolei etz ochaya, as opposed to the gid anosha, there's no exception for a chaya. It's still just as also. So you can shlug up the kal v'chomer. V'idach, what would Rabbi Yosi Aglili answer to that? He would say, "Behemah kamunin." After all, we're focusing over here on a behemah because the pasuk actually meant the pasuk after all mentions chelav shor v'kesev v'ez and is saying that's mutar b'hana. But behemah miyaslei ishtri. By a behemah, there's no exception where chelav is mutar to eat, and yet we see the Torah is telling you it's mutar b'hana. So in other words, chaya is a whole separate thing. So it's true that by chaya chelav is mutar, but the pasuk is not even mentioning chaya because after all, chaya you're allowed to eat the chelav. Therefore, that's a whole different category, and we don't need to worry about that. So you can't use that to shlug up the kal v'chomer. Okay. Next. Okay, so that takes care of Rabbi Yosi Aglili's. So that takes care of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili's machlokas. They're not actually arguing within what Chizkiah and Rabbi Bohu say. They both agree with Rabbi Bohu that it would be also bahana. And according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you need something special to tell us that Chelev and Gid should be mutabahana. Chelev, because it says kol malacha, Gid is either in fact also bahana or is mutter on the basis of a kavachomer. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need any of that. Chelev and Gid are included in the Basar, and therefore once the Basar of the Nevela is Mutar B'Hana, so are those things. Not according to Chizkiah. Chizkiah would say there's no Hava Minetz also in the first place, because it didn't say Lo Ya'ochel by Chelev. Okay, so the Gemara asks. There is, by the way, a machlokas Rishonim, who we paskin like in the end. Do we paskin like Rabbi Bohu, or do we paskin like Chizkiah? But actually, the first thing we need to figure out, the Gemara asks, what's the nafka minah between them? Mechti, let's consider. Oisvinu kol hani kroy. We've brought attempted contradictions from all these various psukim. Vishaninu, and we answered for each one. We said Chizkiah and Rabbi Bohu respectively have a way of understanding the psukim according to their shita. So Chizkiah and Rabbi Bohu b'mai pligi. So what is the actual argument between them? What's the nafkamina lahalacha? The answer is b'chametz b'pesach va'alibed rabbanon b'sharanisko va'alibed divrei hakol. So there's a, the answer would, the answer would be that they're arguing about chametz for Pesach, according to the Chachamim. Where do we know it's also b'hanah? And about Shoda Niskol, according to everybody. Chizkiya nafik leim lo ya'ochol, v'rabba bohu nafik leim nevela. So Chizkiya is saying, because it says lo ya'ochol by them, therefore they're also b'hanah. And Rabbi Boho would say that you learn it from the fact, since the Torah had to be matur nevela, then therefore it implies everything else is also. Well, that's the question. The question is, mechti bein lamar bein lamar asunim b'hanah. The bottom line is, though, according to both of them, chometz for Pesach and Shoda Niskol are also b'hanah. So my benayu, what is the actual argument between them? What's the actual nafkamina between them? Tosfos brings up a point. Maybe you could say that the nafkamina between them would be, for example, chometz nuksha, we talked about the other day, hard chometz, which is not really edible, or taruvas chometz. Where there the pasuk doesn't say lo ye'ochol, there the pasuk says lo yisoichlu, kol machmetzes lo yisichelu. So we would say according to Chizkiya it would be muta b'hanah, and according to Rabbi Bahu not. So Tosfos leaves the question open. One of the answers is that no, once the Torah tells us in general by chametz lo ye'ochol, then it's going to include those things as well. Even though yes, you do have a separate pasuk and a separate lav regarding machmetzes, regarding taruvas chametz or chametz nuksha or whatever. Nevertheless, it's still covered to that extent under the lo ye'ochol generically of chametz. So therefore, even Chizkiya would have to agree that it's also b'hanah. Anyway, so what's the actual nafkamina between them? The answer is ikbenai chulin shenishchatu ba'azara. The nafkamina between them would be where the chulin that was shechted in the azara are also b'hanah. Now, we learned previously, we learned at the beginning of the sugya, that we had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir arguing regarding a nevela, what the deal is. Are you allowed, when the pasuk is telling us that you give it to a ger toshav or you sell it to a goy, does it mean davka though, is dvarim kiksavan, or does it mean like Rabbi Meir had said, you could also give it to the goy or sell it to the ger toshav if you wanted? We said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore you can't learn a heter from nevela, because according to him, the Torah is not coming to give us a heter. The Torah is adadaba coming to give us an iser, that you're not allowed to do certain things with nevela. You're only allowed to do such and such with it. But on the other hand, then we said that, we mentioned the pasuk about trefa lakelav tashlichun oisoi. You should throw it to the dogs. And we said that it is a mute. So Chizkiya had said, since you don't need the word oisoi to tell us in general that things that are also ba'achila are muta b'hanah, because again, according to him, only if it says lo ye'ochol. So he said oisoi comes to teach us that chulin shenishchatu ba'azara are also b'hanah. Whereas Rabbi Bohu had said that the word oisoi is needed to tell us that trefa is muta b'hanah. So therefore, according to him, the word oisoi is not coming to teach us anything about cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. So that's the machlokes. Chizkiya sava lo ye'ochol ma'otehani. Chizkiya says that when it says lo ye'ochol, it means that unless it says lo ye'ochol, anything else that it doesn't say lo ye'ochol is muta b'hanah. Therefore, oisai lama'uti cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. The word oisai, therefore, comes to tell us that cholin shenishchatu ba'azara are also b'hanah, even though it doesn't say by lo ye'ochol, because lakelav tashlichun oisai, you're allowed to throw it, meat of a trefa, to the dogs and have hana from it, but not cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. And we said the connection between trefa and cholin shenishchatu ba'azara, we said the connection is, we're talking about something that's chutz l'mechitzasai, something that's outside its proper zone. Because from bas basada trefa, we learn not only an animal that was injured by a wild animal or whatever, we also learn from it about the case, for example, of an unborn baby that stuck its arm out of the womb before its mother was shechted. We also learn about the concept of kodshim that were taken out of the azara or outside Yerushalayim, respectively, that they become pasul. So cholin shenishchatu ba'azara is the other way around. It's cholin that belonged outside the azara and instead were brought into the azara and shechted there. So it's also a case involving mechitzes, and therefore Chizkiya is saying that the word oisoi is teaching us that cholin that was shechted in the azara are also b'hanah. Rabbi Bohu sava oisoi lema'uti hani, whereas Rabbi Bohu says the word oisoi already comes to exclude the other things that they're also b'hanah, because again he's saying you can't learn from nevela, so therefore you need to learn from the word oisoi. as opposed to Cholon Shenishchet Bazara, Lav Daraisa Ninu. Meanwhile, he would hold that Cholon Shenishchet Bazara is not actually an Isu Daraisa. It's only a Drabanan. And in fact, Tosfos previously discusses the question, is it maybe even also Bahanah at all? Maybe it's only also to eat. Maybe it's Bechlam Mutu Bahanah, even Drabanan. So that would be the nafkamina between Chizki and Amabahu, whether Cholin Shanishchet Bazara or also Bahana Daraisa or not. According to Chizki, yes. According to Amabahu, no. So you actually have different Rishonim discussed. In the end, do we pass him like Chizki or do we pass him like Amabahu? The Rambam, I believe, pass him like Amabahu, although we discussed yesterday in the matter of Gidan Noshe that maybe there's reason to say that actually maybe he agrees with Chizkiah in that case, and that's why he says the Gidan Noshe is mutter, even though the Gemara had implied there that according to Rabbi Bohu it should be also. If we say yesh begidin, if we say ein begidin menois and tam, like Rabbi Shimon says, yeah. Okay. Next, the Gemara says Yosef Ahu Merabbanon Kamed Reb Shmuel Ben Achmeni. One of the Chachamim was sitting in front of Reb Shmuel Ben Achmeni. The Yosef Ka'amem Shmeid Reb Shmuel Ben Levi. He was sitting and saying in the name of Reb Shmuel Ben Levi a third way of learning that chometz is also bana, or that in general is certain Shabbat Torah are also bana. Okay, so we had so far Chizkiah from Loya that if it says Loya Ochel. We had Rabbi Bohu saying in general when it says an Isra Achila, but now we have this one of these Chachamim was sitting in front of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmeni and saying in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi a third thing. Minayin l'chol Yisurin Shabbat Torah. How do we know regarding all these Yisurin Shabbat Torah? D'ki heichi da'asurin ba'achila hochi nami asurin ba'hanah. That just like they're also to eat, they're also ba'hanah. And Umayni, which specific Yisurim are we talking about? Chometz for Pesach for Shorah Nisko. Because all the other ones, either we had other ways of knowing that they're also b'hana, or in fact they're muta b'hana, like we said about Nevela and Chelev. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? What's the question? Minayin. Typically, meloya ochel. What do you mean? He should learn like Chizkiah from the word loya ochel, that it says by Chometz for Pesach and by Shor HaNiskol. The answer is, loya ochel isra achila mashmalei isra anor le mashmalei. The answer is because Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi disagrees with Chizkiah and with Rabbi Bohu and says loya ochel only means that it can't be eaten. So therefore, it should be multibana. So the question then is, typically mi nevela. So then why does he learn it from nevela? The fact that the Torah has to be matu nevela implies that everything else is also bana. The answer is, sava lak Rabbi Yehuda dam of dvarim kiksavan. The answer is, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that by nevela, when it says you sell it to the goy, or you give it to the nochri, you give it to the ger toshav, it means davka those. It means you can't give it to the goy and you can't sell it to the ger toshav. Meaning we're not learning from that pasuk really a heter hana. We're learning from that pasuk a limitation on what you can do with a nevela. So therefore, you can't learn from that isurim in general amotar. So the question is, is Savalak Rabbi Yehuda typically mehech de nafkele Rabbi Yehuda milakelev tashlichu noisai? No, and if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then he should learn from the same place that Rabbi Yehuda learns, from lakelev tashlichu noisai, and say the word oisai means that you're allowed to have hana from trefa, but you're not allowed to have hana from other isurim Shabbat Torah. So why does he need a separate limud? The answer is, Kasaba Cholin Shanishcha Tubazara Daraisa, because he holds in that, like Chizkiah, that Cholin Shanishcha Tubazara are also Daraisa. Therefore, he would say, therefore he would say the word oisoi, so the word oisoi cannot mean that we're being mamait them. They are in fact Asabhana. So therefore he's left with, you don't seem to have any other place to learn. Again, if we don't learn from Loya Ochel, and we don't learn from Nevela, and we don't learn from Oisai, then where are we learning that other Isurim Shabbat Torah are also Bahana? So now that we explain what he's asking, so Minayin, so now the question is, where does he, so he says, where do we know that Isurim Shabbat Torah, such as Chometz and Shor HaNiskol, are also Bahana? So Dichtiv, because you have a Pasuk by, you have a pasuk in connection with chatos, kol chatos asher yuva midam of a gomer, any chatos where the blood of it is taken into the heichel has to be burned. Now, we're not talking about the chatos where you're supposed to bring the blood into the heichel. It's true that those are burnt, but those we don't need a pasuk to tell us that, because the pasuk in each one of those tell us individually that you take it outside the machna and you burn it. What we're talking about is a regular chatos where you brought the blood in, b'shoigi, b'mezi, it doesn't matter, into the heichel. The din is that chatos now has to be burnt. You're not allowed to eat it. So, she'en tamad lema be'esh tisarif. Now, you don't need to tell us, the pasuk doesn't need to tell us that such a chatas should be burnt. We don't need to be told. We don't need to be told that that. What is the pasuk adding by the words that it should be burnt in fire? So im ena inyan legufay, you don't need it legufay because you know this concept that a chatas, the blood was brought into the heichal, that it's burnt. You know it from a different source. Dichtiv vehine soyrof. You find in Parashas Shmini when we have the three chatos that were brought on that day. Soyr nachshen, soyr shchodesh, soyr amiluyim. And afterwards, Moshe finds that one of them is burnt. Rashi over here says it was the soyr nachshen, although Tosfos brings over here and Rashi himself brings on the pasuk that it was actually the soyr shchodesh. Whatever the case, one of the seirim was burnt, and Moshe was upset about it, and he says, why'd you burn it? And he says, Hein lo hova es doma el hakodesh pnima. After all, the blood of it was not brought into the heichal, meaning had it been brought into the heichal, then you would be right in burning it. But like this, you didn't. So why are you burning it? And in the end, Aaron explains to him, because I'm an owner, and even though I'm able to be makriv, we're not allowed to eat it. Anyway, the point is, So you don't need the pasuk to tell us by kol chatas asher yovam midama ba'esh tisarif, because from that story we know that if the blood is brought in, the chatas has to be burned. So therefore, tneu inin l'chol isurim shabbat Torah. Therefore, instead, apply it to all other isurim shabbat Torah, where it says a lav that you're not allowed to eat it. Again, each other isur, either it says explicitly that it's mutter, or some of them it says explicitly it's aser. So the only ones where it doesn't specify is chametz, bapesach, and shor anisko. So those are the ones that we're learning from this. And v'im ene inyan la'achila. And furthermore, if we can't say the pasuk is telling us that you're not allowed to eat them, because it already says by shor anisko and by chametz that you're not allowed to eat them. So therefore, tneu inyan la'isur hana. Therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, apply it rather to the fact that it's also bahana. So that's what we come out, that from the chatas where the blood was brought into the heichal, where the pasuk doesn't need to tell us that you can't eat it and that you have to burn it, from that we're learning for other things where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat them and it doesn't otherwise specify what you have to do with them, that you're not allowed to have hana from them. So the question is, by that logic, you could say just like the chatas has to be burnt, so also the shor haniskol or the chametz has to be burnt. Now, chametz, fine, Rabbi Yehuda holds has to be burnt, but we said in the Mishnah that chachamim disagree with him, and shor haniskol for sure doesn't have to be burnt. The answer is, amakra b'kodesh b'esh tisarif. The answer is yes, but by the chatas, the pasuk says, in the kodesh, then ba'esh tisarif, it has to be burnt in fire, implying ba'kodesh b'sreifa, only something where it's burnt in the kodesh, meaning in the azara, then ba'esh tisarif, then it has to be burnt in fire. Other things which don't have to be burnt in the azara, other things which don't dafka have to be destroyed in the azara, they don't dafka have to be burnt either. So we are learning from the chatas that the blood was brought into the heichal, that they're also bahana, but we're not learning from it that they have to be burnt in the azara, because only that they have to be burnt bechlal, because only things that are destroyed in the azara have to be burnt, not things like chometz for Pesach and shor haniskol, which take place elsewhere. Rabbi Yisrael Glili would say, and Rabbi Yisrael, everybody else, Chizkiah and Rabbahu and everybody doesn't need all that. They would say the pasuk is telling us exactly that. That a chatas, that the blood of it was brought into the heichal, you're burning it. They wouldn't say that im ena inyan lazeh tneu inyan lazeh. They would say you need it legufa. You need it to tell us pashut that it needs to be burned, because after all, not necessarily would we learn it from the story involving Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Aaron. So they don't have a way of learning from this. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Baz Hashem, of how we learn from that thing, what things are also bahana and what needs to be burnt and what doesn't.